from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Pitching woes, well documented. Offensive woes, well documented. Adley Rutschman's dismal July, well documented. Trade deadline coming up at 6 o'clock. Here to get into that and more, Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Let's welcome in our colleague from Baltimore Baseball Tonight. He is Ryan Ripken. Ryan, what is happening on this Turn It Up Tuesday?
Not as much at the moment. I love the vibes of the music, by the way. It's setting me in a good headspace, Bob, as we move towards this deadline, which I know a lot of people, specifically those in Baltimore, are anxiously awaiting what could be, couldn't be, some moves here that the Birds can make before 6 p.m. tonight.
Well, there's still some chatter out there about the Orioles having conversations with the Tigers, Ryan, about Tarik Skubal. What does your intel say? And if the Orioles were pull off this shocking deal, because all along it seems as though the Tigers have been reluctant to move him, what would it take to get Tarik Skubal, and what kind of jolt would that add? Not necessarily to the fan base, who would be pumped, but within that clubhouse as well.
So let's just do, if the move were to happen, then I'll say tell you what I think is going to happen.
Right.
If the move were to happen, then the Orioles have the best 1-2 punch in all of baseball by a wide margin. Skubal and Burns, it's not comparable. That is elite of the elite. Now, let's go to the other side here. I don't think it's going to happen, Bob, for a couple reasons. One, if you're the Detroit Tigers, where you feel like you're close as an organization of going out there and being competitive, right? Like, you felt like this was going to be the year. Doesn't look quite, but you have no reason to move Skubal. So you can dangle him out there, but you have to have an offer that blows you away. That is one you can't refuse. And that would probably have to have Jackson Holliday, Sam Basayo, Kobe Mayo, and then some other pieces added to it for you to do it. The Tigers have all of the leverage here. So that's why, though, and looking at it on the other side, Bob, if you're the Orioles, and they've never done this, do you overspend for value? And that's just where I don't see it happening. I would be completely surprised and shocked if Skubal is dealt to Baltimore, because that would mean that the Orioles would do something that they haven't done in the Mike Elias era, and that is really overpay. And I think an example, you saw that Astros trade for Kikuchi.
Yeah.
Going to, if that, those prospects and what they gave up to get Kikuchi, and we think Skubal is the best by a wide margin, then you know that asking price has got to be so high, I don't know if the Orioles, and I don't believe the Orioles are going to budge on that.
All right, well, let me ask you this. Now, you look at this Orioles position players, their window's wide open to have success. But if we look at Ryan, and you do, obviously, and I'm just kind of speaking out there for the fans, yeah, as well. You know, Burns is a free agent. Expectations are he's gone. So Grayson's a stud. Kramer gets the post every fifth day, usually gives you an opportunity to win. Eplin is signed through next year. So you're good with three. but no true ace, top of the rotation by definition kind of guy. So do you view this as well, if you're Mike Elias, talk about overspending, like, well, I got a window here that is open for a couple of years, but, you know, with the fact that we don't have a lot of guys ready to ascend from the minor league rank, they don't have another Grayson Rodriguez, I guess is my point. Does that maybe force your hand a little bit more if you're Mike Elias, getting a little more on the desperate side than he would have normally here?
Well, you would think hypothetically, and I know this, Bob, no one likes to play the hypothetical and set it up. You tee it up better than anyone in the business here. So, in this case right now that you're referring to, those are things that you have to talk about. Corbin Burnes, for me, the Orioles, that to me in the offseason actually, and I love Anthony Santander, priority is to try to bring Corbin back. And he is going to go to free agency. He's going to try to go to the highest bidder. And you know what? I get it. But the Orioles, you realize of what he's meant to this rotation. On the other part, does it make the Orioles be more desperate? Well, then you got to ask yourself then, Bob, do the Orioles want to get desperate at a deadline because they think it can help right now, or they do what they did last offseason where they acquired one of the top three pitchers in baseball, which for a very solid deal, Joey Ortiz, DL Hall, a pick, right? But that wasn't as pricey as what it's going to be right now. And I think that's where I look at it. If you look at a guy like Garrett Crochet, by the way, you know, you're investing. Crochet and Scoob will have team control. That's the part that you're alluding to. But because of that team control, it's going to be pricier right now because of the deadline. And for Crochet, though, you're really looking for me. I'm looking at that. You're investing more in 25 and 26 than you're investing in 2024. Because he's even said, his agent has said, well, we want an extension beforehand. Well, are the Orioles going to be willing to do that? I don't think so, to start the point. But I do understand the trade-off here. To get a premium guy, despite injuries, that's just how the pitching landscape is nowadays, you got to give up something big. And I just don't see – and this isn't just an Orioles thing, Bob. Like, I don't see any other team in baseball making a move for those guys for what they have. And they're going to have to live with the rotations that they do have. And maybe, you know, I'm still the one name out there, and it's probably not coming to Baltimore, but like Jack Flaherty's out there, and if he gets moved, I think he's really going to help a team this year. I think that we're looking at the Jordan Montgomery situation. Who's the 2024 version or 2023 version of Jordan Montgomery to help a team get over the hump?
Ryan Ripken joining us here. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Turn it up Tuesday. With all due respect to Christian Pacek, Orioles need for a right-handed bat at the trade deadline is what right now, Ryan Ripken?
It's not a desperate need, but adding a veteran like Pilar would bring another metric to the team that is so valuable. You saw it last year with Aaron Hicks just being on the roster and that confidence. And even you could see that Aaron started to kind of find himself. And that was just, you know, the Yankees didn't want him anymore, right? So, I think that that's an interest, but it's not a necessity. I think the necessity, Bob, I think you know where I'm going to go with this, it's still pitching.
Right.
I think the Orioles, and I do believe, don't hold me to this, but I do believe that the Orioles are going to end this deadline getting a top-end type of reliever or relief pitcher. And I'm really curious. I haven't heard a lot about Finnegan, and I know everyone wants Scott, but I think that the Orioles here are going to try to get someone back on the back end of the bullpen, and if they can get a right-handed bat on top of it, great. But I think the biggest thing is the Orioles need a veteran presence and a high leverage guy at the back end. I don't think it's much of a Craig Kimbrel issue. I just want to say this for a second. I know Craig's under a lot of more pressure, but the more pressure is that the Orioles don't have high leverage guys late in game that they can go to and trust. And I think that is something that they must get before this deadline hits at 6.
Yeah, Finnegan got rocked last night, but it's just a one-off for the all-star for the Nats. Now for the Birds, defensive struggles. Adley's .125 in July. What's the more concerning trend here for you, Ryan Ripken, as we wrap up the month of July?
I don't think I think for me, it's defense. You know, and I wouldn't say these are all correctable. I believe in Adley's build and what he's capable of doing. You know, I'm not going to worry about Adley. He's going through it. Some of the best in the game, they all go through it. I think people forgot that Aaron Judge was going through it early in the season, and then he just became the best hitter on the face of the earth once again. So I think Adley will be fine, but the thing that needs to get better is the defense, because there's three elements of the game, Bob: pitching, hitting, defense. You need to do two of the three right each night, or well enough to give yourself a chance to win. But really, it's the defense that has to be the constant, because if you can't have that element, then it's going to put so much more pressure on the pitching and hitting, which we've seen. The Orioles make some blunders, it puts more pressure on the pitching staff. You make a blunder and a team makes you pay, then it forces your offense to then feel like it's going to have to do more instead of just trying to creep back into the game. So the Orioles' defense is so much more capable of what they've proven, but they've also proven that if they aren't sharp, it's going to come back to bite them. So that is one thing I'd love to see cleaned up, because that is, out of all the elements of the game, Bob, that is the one that you can have the most control over. But you got to clean that up so it can overall help your team.
Ryan Ripken, our colleague on Baltimore Baseball Tonight. So last thing, scale of 1 to 10. Orioles make a trade by 6 o'clock, 10 being most likely. Ryan Ripken.
10. I think it's happening, Bob. And I'm on standby here. I'm just waiting around. But I think it's happening. And I guess we're just going to find out who that piece is going to be.
Ryan Ripken, crank it up to 12. It's Turn It Up Tuesday. We'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate you, Bob. Have a great rest of your Tuesday.
You got it, buddy. There's Ryan Ripken, everybody. We'll come back, count some money, buy or sell time. We're going to shift to the NFL. We're going to talk about the Cincinnati Bengals with Charlie Goldsmith from the Cincinnati Inquirer. Hey, Joe Burrow's healthy. Joe Burrow's got a new haircut. Joe Burrow says it's good. Who are we to dispute that it's a funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw? NFL lunch, 1 o'clock. Going to hear more from Lamar Jackson. Going to hear from Ronnie Stanley as well. American League East report. Boy, did the Yankees get medieval on Philly last night as they were breaking out the whipping sticks. And we'll talk trade deadline with Rich Dubroff from BaltimoreBaseball.com at 1.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 1057, The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 1057, The Fan. Turn it up Tuesday, trade deadline. Major League Baseball, 6 o'clock tonight. Following along for you if you're busy, don't have time to get to any sort of device with news updates, so keep it tuned to The Fan. Got you covered there. Ravens back on the practice field today. Going to hear more from them coming up at 1 o'clock. NFL lunch, going to hear from Lamar Jackson and Ronnie Stanley, two very important parts of the Ravens looking to repeat as AFC North champs, and all sorts of other things happening. But right now, Nolan, let's count that dough by yourself.
All righty. Abbreviated stock report today. The S&P 500 is in the red, down 38.59. The Dow Jones is up, though, 41.13. Under Armour also green, up 3 cents. And DraftKings, they're in the red, down $1.03. As far as the sports topics, we'll start in the NFL, where we know the level of quarterback talent across the AFC, that remains deep. Heading into 2024, a handful of notable names are now healthy again, so the picture even more crowded. This creates pressure for everyone, but of course, there's always going to be a few names that have more pressure than the rest, including Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh. The way things went south for him in Denver has started to sour his perception around the league. Once regarded as a future Hall of Famer, no doubt, by most people you ask, now suggesting he's a Hall of Famer, maybe people raise an eyebrow just because the recent history has been so bad. NFL writer Jordan DeJani recently had a piece that said Wilson's legacy is on the line this season with Pittsburgh. Are you buying or selling that he's no longer a lock for Canton because of recent failures?
You know what? I've never really thought about that because kind of assumed he was well on his way to Canton, Ohio, but Seattle decided to move in a different direction, made the playoffs without him with Geno Smith. He struggled in Denver dealing with, what is it, a cap in Pittsburgh. Yeah, I'm going to buy that because, you know, I'm usually wrong. Let me stress that, everybody. But I wouldn't be surprised that Justin Fields is starting for them by midseason. Pittsburgh Steelers. He's never won an MVP. He's won a Super Bowl. He's been to a couple of Super Bowls. Been the Pro Bowl. Man, yeah, he's kind of in that Hall of Fame limbo right now. Yeah, good call.
Well, the USA men's basketball team, they looked great on Sunday in their 110-84 victory over Serbia. But, of course, there's always something to complain about. And for some fans, mostly Boston fans, the complaints came for the usage of Jason Tatum. Well, he didn't get used at all. He didn't see any minutes in that game. Head coach Steve Kerr had to answer for it afterwards, saying, quote, "The hardest part of this job is you're sitting at least a couple guys who are world class, some of the very best players on earth. I'm asking these guys to just commit to winning one game and then move on to the next one." He added that Tatum will play in Wednesday's game against South Sudan, but wouldn't reveal at the expense of which other player. Buy or sell, Bob, Tatum's absence in that first game, not a big deal.
I'm buying it 1,000%. Didn't he win by 30? Halliburton's been splinter time, too. He's doing a lot of hugging and towel waving over there. Look, in the history of the U.S. basketball team in Olympic Games, even going back to the amateurs, when the collegiate players, I always found a couple minutes for somebody. So I don't know. If anything, it's a bad look if I'm Jason Tatum personally from an ego perspective, but you're going to get a gold medal. You just won an NBA championship. But still, he's a competitor. He might not say it publicly, but maybe he seethes a little bit. I know it won't be at the expense of LeBron James or Steph Curry. How's that sound?
I think that's a safe bet.
Thank you.
A little more from the NFL here. Ja'Marr Chase, not the only contract question mark for the Bengals. Both he and pass rusher Trey Hendrickson are holding in at Cincinnati's training camp practices so far. Of course, holding in instead of holding out. They're around the facility. They avoid the fines, but not participating in team drills. Now, if you remember earlier in the offseason, Hendrickson voiced his displeasure, even requested a trade to try to spark some sort of contract negotiation with the Bengals. He later, you know, retracted his request publicly. Team owner Mike Brown, he's been all in on Chase recently, called him the top priority. But we do know that, you know, spending big money there hasn't been their MO traditionally. Buy or sell, Bob, Cincinnati will only be handing out one big contract before the season begins.
I will buy that. We can get a little more detailed explanation perhaps from Charlie Goldsmith at the bottom of the hour. Covers the Bengals for the Cincinnati Inquirer. Not to mention T. Higgins. What contract situation going on with him? So the Cincinnati Bengals have some decisions to make. I think Chase gets done. Trey Hendrickson, however, he might have to wait a little bit. So I'll go ahead and buy that, yeah.
And right, lastly here in Major League Baseball, the trade talk around Giants pitcher Blake Snell has been heating up and cooling down here before the deadline. For a while, it looked like he was going to get moved, and now maybe not so much. But we'll speak hypothetically here and say that he does get moved, presumably to a contender for the World Series. It's interesting to note for him because he landed in San Francisco late in spring, really a one-year deal. He does have that $38.5 million player option for 2025, but again, the key there is a player option. That's his choice whether he wants to pick it up or not. So assuming he gets dealt to a contender, he'll have the chance to perform in the playoffs for the first time since 2022, maybe even avenge his early exit from the 2020 World Series. But buy or sell, Bob, Snell will pick up his 2025 option if he sees postseason success with wherever he is.
I'm going to sell it because he thought he was going to get the big payday last year, didn't, settled for the deal with San Francisco. By the way, the 2020 thing, that was a Kevin Cash thing, not a Blake Snell. He's controlling things because if he does well, then he's got big leverage for a longer-term deal than he got with the Giants. If he sucks, he can just pick up his $38 million option, as you said. But this could be a moot point because Bob Nightingale, USA Today, X-ing out earlier that it looks like they're going to be inclined, San Francisco, to keep him around because they're four games out of the wild card. And, you know, maybe he and Webb can help you do a little damage if, in fact, they get to the postseason. When we come back, Nolan brought it up. Intrigue, drama in Cincinnati with contracts. One thing they are comfortable with is the fact that their quarterback's healthy. As the wrist is healed, the haircut is different. He's looking to redeem himself after an injury-plagued 2023. That's Joe Burrow. So Cincinnati and the Ravens are considered to be the favorites in the AFC North. Is that appropriate? Charlie Goldsmith, Cincinnati Inquirer next. Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw. NFL lunch at 1 o'clock. Going to hear from Lamar Jackson, Ronnie Stanley. American League East Report, 1:15. And Rich Dubroff talks trade deadline Orioles style from BaltimoreBaseball.com at 1:30. It's Vinny at 80-1057 The Pit. As the Orioles try to maintain their advantage, only a half game now in the American League East over the Yankees. But let's talk some NFL. Ravens at practice again today. Lamar was there yesterday talking about Super Bowl goals and wanting it really bad. Well, the Cincinnati Bengals probably have high expectations themselves. Let's talk about Cincinnati week or so into training camp. From the Cincinnati Inquirer, let's welcome back to the program Charlie Goldsmith. Charlie, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us again here in Baltimore.
How you doing?
Doing all right. Hey, before we get to the Bengals, what are the Reds here? They trade Montas to Milwaukee. I'm guessing they all thought they were going to be playoff contenders. I mean, they're six out of the wild card. Is there going to be more sellage going on before 6 o'clock there with the Reds?
Yeah, probably. Obviously, Montas, you know, he was their biggest piece to move, I would expect, at the deadline. But it's a team that entered the year with, you know, division title aspirations, division title expectations. And to trade your opening day starter to the division rival in first place shares a clear signal about where their season's going.
All right, let's get to the Bengals here. We were just talking about it a segment or two ago about, you know, some of the contract issues that Mike Brown has to deal with. Trey Hendrickson, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins eventually. The hold-ins, is it Chase and it's Hendrickson? I mean, how are things going there? Does that sort of thing cast a pall over training camp, or does everyone know at this stage of the game? It's just business, nothing personal right now.
Yeah, Hendrickson's dealing with an injury that they haven't discussed disclosed. Chase, though, obviously is in his own situation. You know, in December and February, I'm very confident that we're not going to be talking about the time Jamar Chase missed in training camp. And in 2026, you know, I expect Chase will be a Bengal for the long term and be under a long-term contract that he'll get at some point over the next few years. So in the long term, this won't be a topic of conversation. But I think there are legitimate week one, week two, week three ramifications to this. Like, for example, you saw Burrow miss all of camp last year. And, you know, T. Higgins ended up that game, had one of the worst games I've ever seen from a receiver, running the wrong way, timing stuff, communication all off. And Higgins has been playing with Burrow for years. You know, that's a sign to me that even though these guys have been playing together for a while, they need time on task. You know, last year Burrow blamed himself, saying receivers and quarterback need time together during camp. Obviously, that was on Burrow, who had the calf injury last year. This year with Chase missing time again, he'll be fine. But in the very, very short term, early in the season, maybe it makes a difference on a player too.
Now, with Joe Burrow, haircut aside, and I guess it's stylish for 2024, health-wise, it looks like all systems are go. What about Joe Burrow coming out here? And you mentioned the injuries at training camp. He was lost for the season against the Ravens on that Thursday night as Lamar wins his second most valuable player. What about Joe Burrow? Not just, you know, the Super Bowl goals, and he came so close a couple years back, but maybe proving to people that he's still one of the four or five best quarterbacks in the National Football League.
You know, Joe is a guy who, in his perspective, nothing has changed in that area. Like, obviously, he's saying this in the national conversation a decent amount just because of the time he missed. But, man, look at what he did when he was healthy last year, all the way to taking the lead in Baltimore on a pass where his wrist snapped. And the Bengals were playing their best ball. They were playing at a really high level. Even though the 2023 Bengals were a very flawed team, they were still playing at a high level. And that's a sign of what Burrow brings to the table, what he's capable of. I'll add this in camp. You know, frankly, he's exceeded my expectations. He's playing great football. And the managing side of things, you know, from a pitch count perspective are pretty much behind him now. Throws look great. Loft, layering throws, zipping them down the field. All of that kind of stuff has been a big win for Burrow and the Bengals.
Charlie Goldsmith, Cincinnati Inquirer, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Now, Cincy quarterbacks combined sacked 50 times last year. Charlie, how's the O-line looking here on July 30th?
O-line's looking the best it's been. And I thought the offensive line was solid last year. You know, a lot of those sacks I would expect would be on plays where either there was a free blitzer. I know that Joe Mixon had a bad year in pass protection last year and allowed a chunk of sacks. Or, you know, probably particularly Jake Browning holding onto the ball too long. The offensive line played very well, and kind of the big spotlight is on right tackle Trent Brown, who hasn't practiced yet due to some tightness, but is expected back soon. He's been injury prone, but when he's healthy, he's played good ball, and his strength is one-on-one pass protection. And then Amarius Mims, you know, a top five talent who slipped to, you know, the middle of the first round just because he played eight games in college. But, you know, he's come in, he hasn't made really any mental mistakes. You know, I've been at all the practices. I've kind of been looking out for that. And from a mental perspective, he's really exceeding their expectations. He's kind of the future there at right tackle. Obviously, there's an adjustment, a learning curve, and it probably still is Trent Brown's job to lose right now. But the Bengals do think this is specifically the deepest offensive line they've had.
Now, Charlie, you know, Joe Mixon is gone as he's moved on to Houston here. What about Zach Moss coming in, who had a good year for the Colts, and how's the running back room looking here for old Zach Taylor? We're, week or so away from a preseason opener.
Yeah, what I expected to, and, you know, to answer this question would be to be talking a lot about Zach Moss, but I think the perspective on it's changed, and it's time to talk a lot about Chase Brown, last year's fifth-round pick, who slid the draft because he was undersized, because he didn't look like he offered a lot in the passing game, because he didn't look like a between-the-tackles runner. He looks like a completely different player. Frankly, it looks like a whole new number 30 is in camp with the Bengals. Added 10 pounds. He already was the second fastest ball carrier in the league last year, which exceeded the Bengals' expectations from a speed perspective. He spent the entire offseason working with a receivers coach and also one of the Bengals' wide receivers, one of his teammates. And, I mean, Joe Burrow will be the first to tell you, and I can really see it myself, his hands, his route running, again, just looks like a whole new player. It will be a split between him and Zach Moss, kind of a platoon. They're different styles of players completely who complement each other. But if I were naming a starter right now, I'd go with Chase Brown.
Get to the defense. Geno Stone, how's he fitting in with his new ball club?
everyone says he kind of folds in really smoothly. He is a veteran, a no-nonsense guy. They love the fact that, you know, he's a seventh-round pick who had to earned every snap that he got, going all the way up the depth chart. That kind of fits in with the mentality and the mindset that the Bengals like to try to establish on their defense. You know, he fits in with a Mike Hilton, an undrafted guy. He fits in with a Von Bell, who's one of the most no-nonsense, you know, go-attack-em guys in football. You know, when they talk about how the defense looks different, you know, last year the Bengals got young and fast at safety, and these safeties were running fast the wrong way. And so they corrected back. They wanted smart, savvy, experience, instincts, and everyone says those are the top points on Geno Stone's scouting report.
Charlie Goldsmith, handicap the AFC North as we're closing up July here.
I definitely think the Bengals and the Ravens are in their own tier. I think they've each got their own questions. Like, you know, the big spotlight on camp is how the new safeties with the Bengals make a difference. And then they have a young cornerback group with high draft picks who are, you know, looking to show it, that they can take their games up a level. You know, it's kind of a similar situation in Baltimore with how much they used their third safety. Obviously, that's a new look for them. They've gone very young at cornerback. They have some new pieces on the offensive line. The Bengals have the right tackle situation I've discussed. The Bengals have a wide open wide receiver three battle. I actually think it'll be an upgrade over Tyler Boyd. The Ravens have, you know, several different depth receiving options that they're going to be counting on more this year. Maybe, you know, we'll see what Tez Walker does right off the bat. We'll see if they incorporate their tight ends more in Baltimore. So kind of some strong similarities between these teams. You know, probably come down to quarterback play like it always does. You know, Burrow, Lamar, take your pick. I'm expecting this to be a very fun race.
Charlie Goldsmith, Cincinnati Inquirer, Ravens at Cincinnati on October the 6th. First time of, who knows, maybe three times they'll face each other in 2024. Charlie, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your Turn It Up Tuesday.
Thank you.
You got it. Charlie Goldsmith, everybody. We'll come back, reset the program for you. NFL Lunch, 1 o'clock. American League East Report at 1:15. Rich Dubroff, BaltimoreBaseball.com. Find out what's happening in the warehouse with the trade deadline looming at 6 o'clock. Baltimore Baseball tonight at 5:30. Me and Mike Bordick live for Pickles. Come on down and say hello. On all of these interweb sites over the last couple of hours, got NFL Lunch coming up. Top of this hour, Lamar Jackson and Ronnie Stanley going to be part of our fun. American League East Report at 1:15. And then Rich Dubroff, bottom of the hour from BaltimoreBaseball.com, where he'll split a doubleheader with Toronto. Yesterday, we'll get into all of that and more and look ahead to Game 3 as well. But, Nolan, we got time for a fun house?
Yeah, what's since going we on? Neglected it last hour.
That was our fault. We apologize. Let's make up for it, shall we?
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
We'll start with Jimmy in Pasadena, who, not a fan of Garrett Crochet, looks like, and says what's interesting about him and his demands here is that he's never pitched a full season of baseball, not just major league action. Even going back to his college resume, hard for him to put together a full, healthy season.
Yeah, even the GM, we talked about it earlier, the White Sox, was kind of floored by these demands coming out of his camp. And Bob Nightingale still thinks he's getting moved. What the compensation will be remains to be seen. Will he get that contract extension that apparently he is demanding, and where do the Orioles fit in to the equation? But yeah, this one kind of came out of nowhere at the end of last week, and has not gone over well for Chicago. The White Sox, that was their leverage. He's a controllable guy, and he's trying to take that away from them.
Another one here from Howard in Baltimore says the O's are a couple of injuries away from a quick descent in the pennant race. The defensive play of O'Hearn and Westberg in the second game yesterday showed just that. Also, why are they even pitching to Vlad Jr. at this point when you have an open base available? He's killed the Orioles over and over. I usually don't complain about Hyde. Not his best effort yesterday.
And the defensive performance in the second game was not ideal. Cade Povich didn't help his cause with the five walks and constantly in trouble. It seemed pitching behind in counts. Yeah, defensively, they've really gone south, and that's pretty mystifying. Now, Hadley hitting a .25, nobody saw that one coming. We're assuming that he'll get it together because he hit the ball hard twice in the nightcap line. I think Vlad snared one, then hit one to right field. But the defense, let's get her together, man. Westberg looks real shaky outside of Gunner, of course.
Speaking here about Povich and McDermott, what they could provide to the team here down the stretch. Texter says both guys were in Bowie at one point last year. They're just not top-tier pitching prospects. They shouldn't even really be here. They're only here because of injury.
Well, and if the Orioles can acquire another pitcher, they won't be here. Kate Povich, by the way, was sent back to the minors after the game because he was the 27th guy. I think there's potential, but either guy make you feel confident that they could stabilize a rotation for 2 months in a pennant race? No, I don't either.
No,
that's why they're talking about getting another pitcher.
Not even as a fifth man. I mean, I think, you know, you'd rather have Albert Suarez as a more comfortable fifth man than what either of those, both those guys give you right now.
Yeah, Burns is legit. Grayson's a stud with more potential. I mean, he gets himself into jams, too. We saw Friday against the Padres. But the ceiling is incredibly high. Eflin is a solid contributor. He's going to give you innings. Kramer, the same, even though he gives up a ton of home runs. They need another person. Yes! Get that pitcher!
And one last one here on the Ravens. This texter says, I still don't like the fact that John Harbaugh and Todd Monken got a pass on the AFC Championship game and have not had to discuss in depth why they did what they did in that game. They've never been held responsible by the media with questions.
I think Monken got taken to task during one of his mini camp press get-togethers, and I think to a man they agreed that the play calling wasn't all that great. I think what ruffled a lot of feathers, if you will, was the fact that John Harbaugh made it sound like Steve Spagnuolo was just throwing all this stuff at him that they couldn't overcome, improvise, and adapt. Go back to it. You tell us the Friday before that game that Kansas City scores 17 points and none in the second half. We're going to tell you the Ravens win by two touchdowns. They didn't even score two touchdowns in that game. So, yes, still very much on the minds of us and the fan base, obviously. But, you know, at this stage, we're coming up on August. What is he going to say? We screwed up? Is it going to make the game change the outcome? No. Do you learn from it, though? There's the question. It was very reminiscent of the Titans game back in 2019, but that's in the past, man. Let's look at the future, and the future's got Lamar Jackson and Ronnie Stanley coming up next. NFL Lunch, American League East Report at 1:15, and talk Orioles trade deadline with Rich Dubroff from BaltimoreBaseball.com. It's Turn It Up Tuesday. Bob Eddy, Nolan McGraw here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.